Baruch Hu tries to answer a question that I'm sure everybody who pays attention would ask. Why was God playing games? What's his business with 10 makos? You want to take the Jews out of Egypt, take them out. Who's going to stop you? Miyom alachol ma'atase. Kadosh Baruch Hu has to defend himself. It's a rational behavior. It doesn't make sense. Okay, if you paid attention to when the Baal Kori began reading, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, bo al Paro, ki ani echbadti es libo v'slev avodov. Not only could I have taken him out without anything, didn't need any makos. And then when Paro was willing to admit defeat, ani echbadti es libo, I didn't let him. V'manshisi oso say ele bekirbo, in order to show off, to show my osos. Osos sum up with one statement, to show my mastery over nature. 210 years of Avodah Zarah. You think I was worried only about the Mitzrayim? I'm worried about my Jews. How will I make them into Jews? Look at the Targum of Yonason. They didn't listen to Moshe. Kotze ruach umi avoda kosher. So Tzang Yonza avoda kosher. Ze avoda zora she kosher liforish mimeno. 210 years. The mantesape boze bincho ben bincho. Tell the children asher hisalalti b'Mitzrayim. I toyed with Mitzrayim, cat and mouse, playing games with them. For one reason, v'idatem k'ani Hashem. That's the theme for the lecture today. Just to try to identify the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. See who he is. If you jump to Parshas Ekev, Kadosh Baruch Hu warns Am Yisrael. You think it's easy? V'idatem k'ani Hashem, you have an easy time because I showed off for you. I showed you my mastery over nature, not a God in whom you believe, but a God whom you know. It didn't say v'taminu k'ani Hashem, but v'idatem k'ani Hashem, because you saw with your own eyes, empiric proof, I'm in charge. But there's going to be a time. Well, after Hashem Elokecha, I'm reading from Parsha Sekev, V'shemalta mishmalta chukos mishpotov, V'yidatim hayom, today you know, but lo az b'neichem asher lo yodu asher lo ro. But it rise to generations who won't know, they'll only have to believe. There's a big difference between knowing and believing. What I know, I can convince you of. What I believe, you have to want to believe what I believe. Therefore, lo ro es musar Hashem Elokeichem es godol es yod hachazoko uzor hanetuyo v'so soso es maaser asher osa b'soch Mitzrayim asher osa lechel Mitzrayim v'abdeim Hashem el mazeh. Why do we repeat it? Because we are the only nation that had empiric proof that Kadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. This whole tumult, which reached a crescendo this year, that's why you saw, if you've been reading the newspapers, so much talk about the year of Darwin. I don't know what year is really, what the yahrzeit is, either the yahrzeit of Darwin, the yahrzeit for the trip of the beagle, or some say the yahrzeit for Origin of the Species publication, but some kind of a yahrzeit this year. And this year was declared the year of Darwin. And suddenly the evangelists became active, and pushed lawsuit after lawsuit throughout the United States in order to teach ID, intelligent design. English translation, that there's a God in charge. Barrister, they are leading the fight. Difficult to join them in the fight, so we don't join them in anything. But they're fighting a little bit of our battle. Vidatem keni Hashem, the Kodesh Baruch Hu somehow fits in to your understanding of the natural world. We have a special problem. We meaning has been a Torah. Special problem in discussing this topic, because sociologically there's a real problem. Fundamentalism, or excuse my expression, the Talmudization of Judaism has occurred also. My Rabbonus is in Muncie. I live here in the Yeshiva. I sleep in Muncie. And we have a Mocha Svolim Tuvia who makes caps and embroiders expressions on the cap. His most popular cap is one that's embroidered, "I have a humble you never heard of." But that's our community. So a report came to me only about 10 days ago that Rav Yoshev Shlita had said, in answer to a question, most likely because why you advertise this or some other reason, that whoever believes in evolution, if he was an aid on Kedushin, the Kedushin is bottle. Okay, that's one quick summary of the theory of evolution. Second point, like this, it's like I make jokes, you're so long. Let's go. They reprinted the big Mishnayos, the Jochen Boaz Mishnayos. A beautiful edition came out half a year ago or so. And in the old Mishnayos, let's see, Mishnayos, prehistoric, they had there from someone who's a member of our faith, the Teferes Yisrael. Nice Pedrash. You can't do much learning Mishnayos about the Teferes Yisrael. In the back of Seder Nezikin, he has a Drush Or Chaim, of which I've reproduced a little piece. I'll get to it during my formal presentation. Drush Or Chaim, to sum it up in one sentence, says that Darwin was a plagiarist. Whatever he said, my Rabbim taught me in kindergarten. The Gemara Chagiga says the world was created four times and each time destroyed. And our world began with Tohu Vavohu, as all the Mephoshim interpret. A topsy-turvy world, stones, mountains overturned, etc. Not ex nihilo. Not a world that began from vacuum. That's the world we're talking about. Basically, an affirmation of some kind of evolutionary process that goes on in the world, in a world that's much older than the 5,770 years that we granted on our calendar. So you look in the new edition, there's Drush Ol Chaim, like 10 pages of fabulous analysis, not only of the origin of the earth, but more important, the whole concept of Olam Habo, what Nefesh and Ruach and Neshama means, etc. So you look in the new Mishnayos, it doesn't exist. It was censored out. I don't remember that happening. Okay. So first, I urge you, really it's worth the effort. See, before they go around and burn the books, get a hold of an old Mishnayos, back to Seder Nezikin, read through the Drush Ol Chaim. Little pieces we'll cover over here. What we're going to be discussing really is the fundamental question in the relationship between Kodesh Baruch Hu and mankind. Put it in simple terms, to what extent does Kodesh Baruch Hu micro-manipulate our lives? Again, you read in yesterday's in Torah reading, V'oyo hadam lachem lo'os ha'labotim, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Sheth the Korban Pesach, and take some of the blood and smear it on the mezuzos, v'alamashkof, v'risi es adom, u'posachti aleichem. I'll see the blood, I'll skip over the house. V'lo yiyah behem negev, Lemashris, Bakosi, Be'eras Mitzrayim. Who's this Mashris? I mean, God gave him an order, so now he can do whatever he wants. He'll kill Jew and Egyptian, the same thing. But we'll program him when he sees red, right? That's easy to do on a computer that works. He'll skip over. What does that mean? And God couldn't say, and look at Rashi, it seems to, the pshat is simple. God said, don't kill the Jews, kill only the Egyptians. Then you read a Gemara and Ksuvis, Daflamid. Gemara and Ksuvis, Daflamid. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz mi yitzinim upachim. Everything is in God's hands except, what? What's tzinim upachim? Who knows? Rashi says, kol v'chom. But fevers and chills, God couldn't take care of that. So Rashi has a little comment. Shepomim boim al yedei pshia. Sometimes it's your fault. Don't blame God. So God doesn't take care of everything. Seichel you have to have yourself. Then you learn in Gibor and Chulin. Ein adam nokev etzbo milmato, elam kein machiz nolam milmala. You're driving a nail into the wall, and you hit your thumb. Right? So you're supposed to say vidu, chatosi olisi, right? God made you do it. He didn't take care of my chills and fever, but he took care of my thumb. The Mogam Bava Kame. What I'm reading for you here, by the way, is, I didn't give it to you. These are little notes I take when I say shiurim. I have to have one ear open for the biology department also. Mo in Bobekamer and Daf Samach beidon rover beidon rischa socha kui. When he heard that there was sickness outside, he slammed the window shut. What's he worried about? The Monoshach. If he deserves to be punished, my viruses can get through the window. And if not, the window can be open, makes no difference. What the Gemara is trying to do is somehow keep man as an independent controlling force also in his life. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes over just so much. And then Rashi, which you read a few weeks ago in Parshas Noach, Keitz Koboso Bo Lefonai, Komokom Shatemotzi Znus Avod Zora, Andru Lemusio Bo Lorom, Voreges Tovim Vroim. When the people sin, those two sins, Avod Zora and Gil Arayas, Znus, right? Then there is catastrophic epidemics, Andru Lemusio Bo Lorom. It kills the Tzadikim, the Rishoram, okay. What happened to my Rabbeinu Shalom? What happened to Hashgacha Pratis? Okay. That's the psychological background that speaks about how we view the theories of how biogenesis, how living things came into being. Cosmogony, how the world came into being, that really isn't deserving of much attention, because nobody knows. No one wants to argue with us. You say God made the world. It doesn't cost any money. Bad day, the world, kol hakavod. You tell me that the world came about with a big bang, I don't have too much trouble with that. Just I know who gave the bang. It's a big bang, no one banging, it doesn't deserve much attention. So we leave that alone. And all the effort that has been made by Darwin was to try to explain the diversity of species that we have in the world. How did this all come about? And that's a proper study. We have to understand Kodesh Baruch Hu v'chol d'rochov. Because of time constraints that are coming in, I'll flash through, then ask you to make use of the handout which Mr. Shaw was kind enough to prepare. This is just to show you what's happened this year. Okay? Why he doesn't want that one? What Darwin didn't know. Oh. That they couldn't fit into one volume, so all year they've been publishing things he didn't know. Most important thing, what he didn't know anything about one generation following a second generation. He had no knowledge of heredity. He was a Lamarckist and believed that acquired behavior traits are transmitted to the next generation. Had he only known a little bit about Judaism and realized that we've been circumcising our children for thousands of years and Moalim are still in business, he would realize that you cannot transmit an acquired trait. The problem was speciation. How come we can't group things together? It's very interesting. When you study, you study certain facets. Once upon a time, they were all morphological, visible things. Nowadays, as we'll see, with DNA, immunology, we can show close relationship between various species, indicating a common heritage. By the way, what I'm flashing on you are from the most reputable science journals that we have. Science, Nature, JAMA, New England Journal of Medicine, etc. Okay. Look at this 15 evolutionary gems. This, in the middle of this year, Nature decided to publish. Okay, a kind of put up or shut up. You believe in evolution. What is it that convinces you that there is a relationship between one species and another species? Such a relationship as one was derived from the other. First, little modifications until ultimately there were bigger modifications. And then there was a certain advantage to the big modification, so this species became dominant. I don't know if you can see it there, but let's see, possibly. Let me read it from over here. All I want to read from you is, where is this information, where is it from? Where was it published? Okay? So you see, number two, I don't know if you can see it there. There. Can you see the date over here? Should be here. 2007. The evolution history of teeth, or the origin of feathers, that was 2008. You can see it down here someplace. In this over here, you see no evidence from before. First in 2007, 2008, they began proving that evolution has a basis in science. And you see, that's true. Before that, it was a svara, a havamina. It was an idea. And as you'll see, because of the powerful structure of universities, where you don't start up with a full professor, not if you want to get a job in the university. People accepted what other people said without any scientific basis for it. Every one of these 15, and I say time doesn't permit to do an honest job by this, what happened suddenly? Just look at the titles. Origin of Vertebrate Skeleton. You have the slightest idea how minuscule the proof is. To people who study evolution, yes, there's a little bone that seems to be found in a whole series of species. That's enough evidence. No layman is going to be convinced of that. I don't want to underestimate the significance of it. But nothing dramatic has happened. In all these years, in all the arguments, right? Natural selection and lizards, there's nothing there. Only people studying that particular species would appreciate they found a little change again in a leg bone. Okay, maybe we'll show some of the easy ones. Okay. And then Darwin became a political issue. Russia claimed that Darwin proved that communism is right. Survival of the fittest. Right? China claims that he stole everything from them. It was their idea to begin with. Okay? That's the Eastern enchantment. I'm sorry, I must push it through because there's another nice Rosh Hashiva has to speak after me. Okay. Let's see. This is last year. What do you do if you think that evolution is an atheistic concept? As many people believe. I personally believe that it has been used that way. Been used as a club against Rabbi Yisrael by making God inconsequential. Yeah, in Los Angeles, in a tar field, they didn't discover it last year, but last year they got around to emptying the barrels that they had collected some 10 years ago. And they found in the barrels this thing. How do you explain that thing? Something that size doesn't exist today. A mammoth. How did it come about? So if you ask some of our Gedolim who heard about evolution their way, from whoever taught them what evolution is all about, the best answer they can give is Sadikim Yelchubo Uposhim Yikoshubo. God has a sense of humor. He purposely made these things in the earth to test your faith. So a Rosha will say, that proves God doesn't exist. All happened by itself. Right? And a Tzaddik will say, oh, Manor Elohim. It's unacceptable. It's playing games with Kodesh Baruch Hu's Emune, Kodesh Baruch Hu Torah. You can't say that. Al-Kim Nisus Avraham, he tests only Avraham, he doesn't test me. Okay. This is just to remind you, this is 3 April 2009. They're still fighting in Texas, and the ID people won. They first outlawed the teaching of evolution. That was 2 years ago. They went to court and they restored the teaching of evolution alongside with intelligent design. And then they went to court to knock out intelligent design as a religious principle cannot be taught in the public schools. So they made a compromise. They will not teach intelligent design. They will merely teach the weaknesses and the strengths of evolution. Okay. Which means the ID people won again. I won't talk about ID. I'll just talk about the weaknesses of evolution. If evolution is weak, you have to leave room for the Rebbeinu Shloim. This is a few weeks ago in Nature, they published this interview. I think what's important for us is that question, why hasn't the general public rejected ID? Only 40% of adult Americans understand the nature of a scientific experiment. People are going to be miseducated about science. We don't have to worry about medical schools teaching that AIDS is a curse from God. We have to worry about teachers teaching will. And that's important to us to know. Because as we'll see, the Rambam makes it very clear. You have it. Take a look in the handout. On page 2, Rambam Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. You have it? There's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. There's a mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam interprets Yiras Hashem, meaning Yiras Onesh, afraid of being punished. Not so in the Yad HaChazokah. Here Yiras Hashem is Rumumus Hashem, to be impressed by God's glory. How? Ha'keil ha'nichbo banor mitzvul avu l'yiroso, she'nemar va'apte Hashem alakecha, v'nemar az Hashem alakecha tiro, halocha beis. Hechi haderech la'avoso v'yiroso. What do you mean I love God? How do you love God? B'shor she'izbonein ha'odom b'masov v'bruor v'nefloem agdolim. When you study God in nature, v'yire mehem chochmoso shein la'erech locates, miyad hu ohev u'mashabeach u'mefor u'mesave tavo gedola lida Hashem agadol. Same way you learn to love a wife, you're impressed by how she behaves, what she does, not what people tell you. Our problem is that many of the people who will comment, who have to teach about the relationship of Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world, belong to that 60% who have the slightest idea of anything that reflects Kodesh Baruch Hu's greatness, the Romamus Hashem in nature. And the Rambam says there's no way to get to Avas Hashem. But we have a mitzvah, one of the Tariyag mitzvahs, 3 times a day we say, but after Hashem Lekecha. If you sleep that night, you know, so at least twice a day. Yeah. That's part of our problem. We can't even have an intelligent discussion with Gedolim because they don't know what we're talking about. this is the point that I made before. Is evolution a secular religion? It really is. It's become, as I said, a battering ram to oppose religious belief. So you have some great scientist publishes the God hoax. What woke him up? Well, suddenly he has nothing better to do. He has a laboratory to run. What's bothering him? Came a very, over the last 2 years, except for one scientist, Collins, who became the head of the NIH just now, who wrote a book, The Language of God, which is full of Yiras Hashem. Okay. You want to know what the Gedolim say about evolution? You have to read this by Rav Keller, Random Evolution or an Intelligent Designer, right? I'll sum it up. If you read it, it's an embarrassment. Two volumes, two editions, they're listing all the reasons why you can't believe in evolution. Not one point that shows he understands what evolution theory is. Because what evolution was, Darwinism died a long time ago, as I'll point out in a minute.
Did Darwin believe in God?
I'm sorry?
Did Darwin believe in God?
Sir?
Did Darwin believe in God?
So in a minute. He says, certainly, you can believe in him and God at the same time without any trouble. Okay, let's see, I have some letters from him. Okay, some quick definitions. Darwinism is gradualism, meaning things happen, little bits of changes over millions of years built up until you have the various species. Right? The modern synthesis says, no, it didn't go that way. But a whole new forces came in. Cosmic rays causing mutation, hereditary errors, once Mendelian inheritance was accepted, right? And suddenly, we no longer can explain gradualism. It doesn't work. There's no record for it. No way to show it. Not empirically. So we made a decision. No more gradualism. We now have episodic evolution, which is leaps, not a gradual, but something happened, catastrophic destruction of the world due to a comet hitting the world, and then when it started up again, brand new species appeared that do not have a relationship with the previous ones. That's episodic or punctational, right? And therefore, some people began to claim, like Osborne, who ran the Museum of Natural History, that there is, yes, evolution follows natural biological rules, but there must be some kind of direction, that life is limited to go in only one direction. What bothered Osborne was that most mutations, which is the basis of modern synthesis, most mutations are negative. A mutation means I threw a monkey wrench into the computer. Maybe it improved, made better connections than there were before. But the likelihood of it making better connections is remote. The greater likelihood is you're going to mess up the computer. And yet, mutations seem to be the force for improvement in biology. Therefore, it means there's something in the life force built in that doesn't let it go in one direction, must go in the other direction. Didn't mention the Rebbeinu Shloim, though. He's not referring to intelligent design. Then there began some proofs, and that's where evolution gets weakest. I prove to you, because we have wisdom teeth. What are wisdom teeth doing in the mouth of a stupid fellow? Or we have muscles in our nose, we can twist our nose. Why do you need muscles in the nose for? Very, they don't know, because it says ba'apam holguish, right? A fella comes, a rov comes from a pover, comes from a, he comes to the shul, then he gets finished, they ask him, how did he do this? That's ba'apam holguish. It's very important to have muscles in the nose, right? Coccygeal vertebra, right? The last vertebral vertebra, it doesn't do much good. There are no nerves coming out of it. What's it doing there? So every Rosh Hashiva will tell you, it prevents the Talmud from slipping off the tape, the chair. Yeah. That's the best they had. And then, but then they make mistakes. The appendix. We don't need an appendix. That's from early animals who had a long appendix. Or the thymus gland. When I began teaching biology, I taught the thymus gland was a vestigial organ. A few years later, I had a klap al-chet at the thymus gland as an essential organ for immunity, for a whole immunological response. But once it was a vestigial organ, and you see what happens. I'll just so quickly, when I compare the immunology and chemistry, the DNA sequences, our chilik between ourselves and the chimpanzee is only 50 genes. We differ by only 50 genes. That's all. It must be something that makes us think that maybe we started off someplace together, right? And the very basis, comparative embryology, which has been disproven, meaning you see that early embryo development seems to be, we go through a recapitulation. Some of you may remember it. It's not true anymore. Ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. That's the way an embryo grows. It goes through the various phyla. It's not true. Some with a good imagination. But we were taught that way, and that's how we've taught it for many years. But this is what's critically important. Okay, look at the date on this one. Right? Journal of Evolutionary Biology, 209. Suddenly, there's your appendix. And the appendix becomes suddenly critical for your survival. It contains those bacteria that prevent pathogenic bacteria from overtaking the intestine. Another study showed that children who had the appendix removed before age 3 have a higher incidence of leukemia. What happened to this vestigial organ? A vestigial organ may be nothing more than our ignorance. Okay? Then comes, here's what happened. No one wants to talk about it anymore. In 1980, there was a Chicago conference on macroevolution. Macroevolution, no problem. Like we'll soon see Darwin's finches. Some with a pointing beak, some with a front beak. Yeah, those changes I can understand how it may happen in the course of selection. Finches who had available for them only nuts, seeds, couldn't do well with a pointy beak, so they died out, and those who had a little thicker beak were able to handle it. That makes sense. But they asked, show me macroevolution. What evidence you have that one species became another species? And kulam ke'echad, everybody got up and said, there is no evidence whatsoever. Since then, they've been trying to find more evidence, not doing so well. That's why Gould came up and said, okay, bimod al emes, we're now dealing with episodic evolution. No more gradualism. I don't show the gradualism. I don't understand how the leap was made, but that's a fact. What concerns us, and we'll move to it quickly, is this word. That's a dirty word. Randomness means there's no Rabbeinu Shalom. There's no Hashgocha. Things happen by themselves. That's what random means. Those who study theoretical math tried to convince me that there's order in randomness as well. It's chaos theory. But that, they lost me on that one. Let that be. Randomness means no Rabbeinu Shleilam. Let's see, do we have such a belief that Rabbeinu Shleilam sometimes moves away from the world and says, I'm not involved? What happened now? Okay, this is just for your amusement. They went ahead for some crazy reason. They decided to work out the whole genome for the platypus. The platypus is a strange animal. Right. It lays an egg. It suckles its young with milk. It has venom like a snake. It walks like a duck. He says, Rabbeinu Shalom, why'd you do that? You in charge? Why'd you put this guy on earth? What does he do? This is the classic Darwinian evolution. Right? He's good on the beaks. See, little beaks, big beaks, fat beaks, that's microevolution. Right? When he wants to go into macroevolution, show me how a horse developed with hoofs. Says, well, he once had one toe, then two toes, then three toes, then he came together. Did anyone ever see these animals? Have any evidence in the earth for these animals? Don't exist. Some fellow sat down with a pencil and paper and said, if I were God and how to make a horse, here's how I would do it. But it makes sense because the human mind has a right to search for answers. And I offer a theory. I think this is how it could come about. Here you have intelligent design. Okay. Some of you know I teach microbiology. Shem Driscatu last month. Right? And this is one of the ID, intelligent design, main proofs. Maybe the only main proof. A bacteria has a flagellum, a little tail that allows it to move. So I want to make a tail, I put a tail on, it has a tail. Comes along the Rabbeinu Shleilam, they claim, and made a tail. And how do you make a tail? The tail was attached to a motor like this, right? This motor has 9 parts. Right? That couldn't happen by itself. By evolution, gradualism, 8 parts are enough, 6 parts are plenty. Why 9 parts? Most people mention that something in mind. They want to make this motor, this little tail, to be driven by a motor consisting of 9 complex parts. So happens the proof disappeared because we now found in microbiology, we found organisms that have a flagella driven by 4 parts and by 6 parts, so that gradualism could possibly come into. But their level of proof was significant. See what they're looking for. Show me something that your mind says doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make sense to you, it must make sense to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Here, sorry, the date didn't come out. This was a few months ago. Right? They showed that the antenna on the cell surface, that every cell has one little hair. And that hair controls everything that goes on in the cell. That cilia determines how the cell reproduces, etc., etc. Why would nature want such a thing to happen? That's the second proof they brought in. There must be an intelligent design here which we don't understand. Okay, you can read that thing. That's the cilia on each cell. Okay, so when you go to the bathroom and say, I call it Baruch Hu, Ovor Avon Nekovim, Nekovim, Chalulim, Chalulim, a little more of the Cheretz for that bracha. And here, this one of the biggest finds today was to show that there's a common protein found in the dinosaur DNA that they're able to pick up with our common chicken. Because they claim it's the reptiles that became the birds. Unfortunately, it's not holding up. Well, fortunately, not holding up. Others are arguing that their technique was false, and they told you had to take DNA that's several hundred thousand years old, right? And it didn't come out so good. And here's one of the most famous of the experiments, right? To show that biological life could come from inorganic. This Miller's experiment, in which he put in methane, ammonia, hydrogen, and water, and sent in high energy pulses, and was able to come out there with organic compounds, indicating that if in the primordial soup of the ocean was bombarded by the Big Bang or whatever did it, then life could have come out, in other words, spontaneous generation from organic life or inorganic. Again, this deserves that comment that was making the rounds several years ago, where after they finished the genome project, the human genome project, the leaders of the project sent up a message to the Ribono Shel Olam: we don't need you anymore, we also know how to make man. So the Ribono Shel Olam invited them up. He came up and said, okay, let's see what you can do. So they say to the Ribono Shel Olam, you're older, so you go first. So Kadosh Baruch Hu reaches down, takes some earth from Kisei HaKavod, and makes a man. So I said, that we could also do. They reach down and take some earth from Kisei HaKavod, and God thunders, get your own earth. With my earth, you're going to make a man? Make an earth. With my chemicals, you're going to make me an organic compound? Why not? In the inorganic compound lies the ability to make organic compounds. What's the big deal? Get your own earth. Yes, just to show you that nothing it's not vada, it's still evolutionary theory, it's not law, it's not doctrine. It's the best idea that people came up with. Here, everybody says, of course, life started in the sea. We know almost vada that life didn't start in the sea. It started in the mud on land. Whatever you believe proves that life started there. And here, I think just read what I underlined there. Yes, how come people are questioning evolution? We have no evidence for macroevolution. Why were you all so sure you had all settled already? That's the 1980 conference in Chicago. Look what they answer. Right? Niels Eldridge, most likely the most famous evolutionist of modern times, look what he answered. I think the idiosyncrasies, right, of these major individuals are underplayed. A case could be made that individuals, rather than disciplines, were responsible for the emergence of synthesis and its particular character. English translation, if the full professor said evolution goes this way, you better believe it, or else you don't get a job. Here you have one of the people don't appreciate this. One of the greatest questions against Darwinian evolution, better get against speciation. How do separate species develop? I say, well, some advantages occurred to some individuals, and then the environment favored that individual. Therefore, there should be one individual in that environment, only one species there. If there are no separate environments, there shouldn't be separate species. I go down several miles under the earth, there's only one environment there. No boundary lines, no mountains, no oceans. It's all one. And we now have discovered well over 10,000 species living down there. Different species that you see these crazy forms. No one could explain that to this day. What allowed for speciation under the earth, under the ocean? We don't have any barriers. We have no boundary lines there. So truth. Well, here's a classic example. This is blown up. It's a microscopic. It's a microfilm. This was believed to be primitive bacteria that became encased in the earth. All right. Until this year, they showed the. Rockley was challenged, and this year they came to the conclusion that what looks like rocks are rocks, not bacteria. No big deal. They made a mistake. They thought it was. But it gives you an idea. We're not fighting against certitude. Okay? Now, here you have. In answer to your question that was asked in an old letter, Darwin complained, I didn't say anything against God. And he's 100% right. I say this is what happened in the world. You tell me that someone told it to happen that way, I have no problems. So it happens that Darwin was not a deist. He was an atheist. He says, not because of my theory. You want to introduce the brain, introduce him. And then, interesting thing, there's a famous letter, Darwin the rabbi, right? Whoever this Rabbi Naftali Levy was in 1876, wrote why he had read, most likely, or had spoken to the Tefillah Shesoil. Tefillah Shesoil wrote his thing, the Or Chaim, he wrote it the year Chol HaMoed Pesach, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, when the Piltdown Man was discovered. The Piltdown Man proved to be a hoax, that the archaeologist Smith went to show that his chaverim, a lot of baloney. He took a skull of a monkey and a leg of a dog, put them together, he soaked them in acid, buried them, and then 20 years later, in his will, he revealed what he did. By that time, there were my 100 PhDs written already about him. And here you want to see what a Gadol B'Yisrael does. This is Rav Kook Zatzal. Read what he said. He asked about the theory of evolution. What he answered was, there's nothing wrong with it, but gradualism doesn't make sense. Look what he wrote. Not to be believed. The idea of gradual evolution is also only its beginning. There's no doubt it will change its form and give birth to conceptions that will include sudden leaps to complete the picture of nature. When was this written? 1908. It took a 1980 conference before they began to admit. I gave that to you in the handout. Okay. This sums up the newspaper I love to hate most, is the Jewish Week. Okay. Maybe because the editor is a graduate of YU, right, and allows the paper to be one of the most virulent papers against orthodoxy. Look at that headline. Rav Avadya Yosef Shlita said that the New Orleans was destroyed because America contributed to the destruction of Gaza. Mido keneged mido. So he was attacked. This paper attacks him too. But what's the question? Was it nature or was it God? That's the whole Torah. V'yidatem k'ani Hashem. No one wants to believe that God's in charge of nature. There's the whole trouble. That sums up that headline then. I mean, no problem. There's God and there's nature. Who runs nature? According to the Egyptians, they had 400 gods that ran nature. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo had trouble knocking off each god. U'beloheyem osos shvotim. To knock off each god, he's not a god. Earth, land, lice, etc. This is the Rambam I gave you the immediate reference to. Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be known. V'yidatem k'ani Hashem. I have to see God in nature to know how I can love Kodesh Baruch Hu. But I have to believe that God's in charge of nature. I'm trying to pick up the pace because Look at this Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Hey. Rav says, Hamose chut shel tfira b'Shabbos, you pull a loose button to your jacket on Shabbos, right? You chayev a chatas because it's a av melocha of tofer, of sewing, right? Halomi dovech merag bagush, if you study magic, chayev misa, it's avodah zarah. If you know how to calculate astronomical events and you don't want to do it, also you mustn't talk to him. It's beneath dignity to talk to this man. It's a mitzvah. There was only science at the time. Only real science at the time was astronomy. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin not don't talk to him. Mitzvah la'odam l'chashiv t'chufus mazalos. It's a mitzvah d'raisa, shenema, but it says, u'shmartem v'asisem kuhi chochmasem v'nasem l'ini yagoyim. They're not impressed with my teretz on Teshuvah Kasher. They're impressed that we have a disproportionate number of Nobel Prize winners. That's part of Kiddush Hashem. Dirty Jew, but smart dirty Jew. You think the Chachamim didn't know what Darwin knew, that there's a connection between lower animals and upper animals and man? Look what they said. On the swine flu, Imhoye Deva Bechazerim, if there's a plague among the Chazerim, then you descam Misanin, then they declare a tiny Sibul, because Shemeihem Domim L'Shel B'nei Odom, because their intestinal tract is the same as a man. Therefore, if it could happen to them, it could happen to us. They knew about homology, which is a big proof of Darwin. Vestigial organs, homology, that's the beginning. Alpha Piquet, they didn't speak about how things came about. That the Drush HaChaim tried to do. And there's the Drush HaChaim. Here, you'll do better, I think, if you look in the handout there on page 3. He speaks there, right? Look at the top. Omnom po gilsalo to Hoseinu HaKadosha Tefach me'asod hanifro shezochanu. She'ein ha'olam po b'pam harishon. The earth is not here the first time. U'shekvar nivru hadalel ha'yesodos. Everything, you have it on page 3. And he says, avosipul on the next underlying thing, ha'oretz ho'yse so v'vo. Not disappeared, vacuum, nothing there. Ex nihilo. But it was there. He started off. God started off with earth, with stones. All topsy-turvy. How did stones and earth get there? Where's Kajmajani? How did they get there? And they were there, left over from the previous destruction. Get it, I got it in the Gemara. You have a problem. For real? Literal? Or is it only homiletical? We need a Rebbe to tell you which is literal, which is not. When the Gemara Chagiga says that the Olam was created 4 times, they're literal, he says. No one questions it. And it says, look at the next, the first column there. The last of the first column. Mikol Omer Nira Boru Shekol Ma Shebosu Al Mekabolim De Kam Meil Shana Shekol Hoi Olam Pama Vshuv Vichorib Ze Arba Pomin Shekol Pama Olam Hizgala Bishleimu Shesera, each time showing more advancement, right? Hakol is Bar Akshav Bizmeinu Vemes Tzedek. Okay. Now we have to move a little faster, I think. That's from there. Now comes the most critical stuff. Look at in Parshas Ekev, you have it, you have it there. Okay, number 7. Shiftus Rabachoy Gon, and the Perush of the Netziv on the side, right? Melchizedek said to Avraham, Boruch Avraham L'Kel Elyon, right? Konei Shamayim V'Oretz. What does it mean, Konei Shamayim V'Oretz? So I look quickly on the line, try to follow me quickly. Shnei Alofim HaRishonim Isnag Atev B'li Hashgocha. That sounds like Apokursus. There was no Hashgocha the Bein Shalom for the early 2,000 years of our world. God got involved with mankind only twice, he says. Now, again, I'm sorry, I have to speed it up. Once by Dor HaMabul, once by the Dor HaFloga, he saw that man was destroying the world. There couldn't be another world after this. So God decided to get involved. But that's all. Then he backed away again. When he said, El the Nov Ere, let me go down and see what's going on there. Right? He says, El the Nov Ere, he says, means, let me denigrate myself. It's not for my cover to deal with those guys. But I have no brera. I have to get them out a little bit. Now, look what's underlined. The key line is, and number 8 on page 3. Right. Shnei alofim harishonim hisnai gateva b'li hashgocha. Then hanogas olam lefnei matan Torah ad she'icha erbom avinu kobot olam v'asher me'oz enei Hashem ha'mishotim v'oros ha'kalkalas olam. Before Avram came, there was no hashgocha potis. So if God didn't get involved with mankind, you think he got involved with a platypus? No. Is it God or is it nature? God is nature. Nature is what? The laws that Kodesh Baruch Hu put in the world. No less laws than Talis and Filin and Shabbos and Kashrus. God gave law of gravitation, laws of concerning electricity, magnetism, etc. Those are laws of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the world went according to his laws. Now you want God to intervene? But you call Hashgocha Potis, you don't deserve it. Came along Avraham Avinu and earned Kodesh Baruch Hu's grace. Now, after Avraham Avinu, God said, okay, I'll pay attention to mankind now. That's what Avraham Avinu did for us. But you want to jump off the top of the Empire State Building and tell the Rebbeinu Shalom, I know I am knocking michet. I never sinned in my life. So nothing's going to happen to me. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, nothing much, but you pick you up with a sponge. You violate my law. I said gravitation law is in effect. You can violate my laws and say, I'm a shregot Torah mitzvahs. That's no less a law of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Say again, I apologize because of the late start. We have to move it along, but the handout contains three other places where the Nesiv says clearly there's no Hashgocha Potis until Avraham Avinu showed. So why are you going to argue, where's Hashgocha Potis in cosmogony? Where's Hashgocha Potis in biogenesis? Of course not. There's Hashgocha, but not Hashgocha Potis. All of them followed the laws, so Kodesh Baruch Hu put the laws in effect. And by the laws of effect, you know, when chemical reactions happen, sometimes it doesn't happen exactly like you thought. There's always an inherent error that's possible. That explains a lot of the nonsense that appears in nature. We'll conclude with what I think is a great chiddush. It's unfortunately, it's Chamisha Osa Ba'ov. Not Chamisha Osa Bishvat. But Gemara, the end of Tainis, and again, I think you have, was reproduced for you there?
Yeah.
Unbelievable Gemara. It says, O Yom Tov Mil Yisrael, the best Yom Tov were Yom Kippur and Tuva Ov. Yom Kippur, he says, Shlichus Avonos. What the heck is Tuva Ov doing there? He says, oh, Tuva Ov, the Meisei Midbar stopped dying. Tuva Ov, Shevet Binyamin was allowed in the fold again. Right, there was a cherem against, because of the Peleged B'Giver, there was a cherem against them. Now you can marry them. You can marry, of course, Shevet lines, etc. Right. Then comes the big one. Right, you know what happened? Oh, there what? There. I blew that up a little bit. Let's see. Oh, if I can hold it. No. What happened here? Why doesn't want to go there? Okay. Sorry, you have it on your page there?
Yeah.
Okay. It says what? It was the day in which they stopped cutting Eitzim L'Marocha. Of all the possible reasons why Tuba was important, because the Levim stopped cutting the wood for the Marocha. What the heck does that mean? They did a mitzvah, Baruch Hashem, they did mitzvahs all day, all week, all month. No, I mean, they stopped cutting. No. Why? I think it's gone haywire. Okay. It says, because up until Tuba Ov, the sun is strong, and the earth and the wood can dry, so the worms don't attack the wood. After Tuba Ov, Toshas Kocho Shulchama, the sun weakens, and therefore the wood can be attacked, and a wood, Sheyesh Bo Tolas, a wood that has in it a worm, is Pasul Ra'och. That explains why Tuba Ov is equal to Yom Kippur. No one asked the question. The answer is very simple. What's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is Kodesh Baruch Hu's declaration, I am your master. Mi yichye mi yomus depends on me. It's a Yom Hadin. Man sins, stands in judgment. Tuba Ov, I tell the sun, cool down. I tell the worm, you can start eating. Tuba Ov is God declaring his mastery over nature. Hashem declares a day, Yom Kippur, that declares Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Rosh Hashanah for Hashem, and Tuba Ov is the Rosh Hashanah of Elohim. And the Rosh Hashanah has started the judgment of mankind, and Yom Kippur is Gemar Din, and on Tuba Ov we think some that cut wood, that's not the issue. They're worried about will it be a kosher piece of wood, and Kodesh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, up here on Tuba Ov I'll take care of it. Worms won't attack. After Tuba Ov, I give the worms reshus. I told you what to eat and what not to eat. I tell the worms also what to eat and what not to eat. So Tuba Ov becomes God's mastery over nature. When the answer, is it God or is it nature? Is God ruling over nature? That's the answer to our position on evolution. Kodesh Baruch Hu declares his mastery over nature. And if you say, but look, there seems to be things that happen by themselves, nothing happened by itself. It happened according to the laws of nature, which is no less than the laws of the Torah that you're familiar with, the laws of nature you're not so familiar with. The same laws, same Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's the God of nature that spoke. That's our concept of randomness. Was there randomness in evolution? Of course there was randomness in evolution. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu gave strict rules to begin with, they let the rules function. And the rules function on their own without Hashgacha Pratis. There is randomness. All within the boundary lines that Kadosh Baruch Hu set in his laws. Thank you.
Sorry. Hey, Rabbi Tandler, we're going to start the next chair in about a minute.